This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
As it turns out, neither of us were here yesterday at this time, right?
I know. Well, I was, but for a different show.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, there was a lot of other things going on yesterday. We will. I'll touch on that briefly before we get to our normal array of topics and goofiness. We we're fortunate enough to work for a company that also owns not only a minor league baseball team, they own a college baseball league, a summer league, and they also own the Durham Bulls Athletic Park. So yesterday, there was a whole, it was a client event. You know, our job is to help clients do well. You know, my job indirectly, the salespeople, all that. So we had a client appreciation event at Durham Bulls Athletic Park, in which the entertainment, a lot of times you'll bring in entertainment. Sometimes it's a singer, sometimes it's a comedian. In this case, it was about 25 comedians masquerading as baseball players.
Oh, there you go.
Some funnier than others. So we had a, basically, not a company softball game, but a company slash client baseball game. And some of us are feeling it today.
Oh, boy.
First of all, very quickly, our friends at Mix 101.5, the morning show, three people I love dearly, Kyle, Brian, Sarah. Sarah was the, I guess, the host of the event. And Brian and Kyle both played. Kyle was on my team. Brian was on the other team. And let me tell you, for a man who came out with a picture of his dogs on his socks, yeah. He is a baller.
Oh, yeah.
And I got mad at him twice. He was on the other team, the winning team. The family who owns Capital Broadcasting, two brothers split. One was a manager of our team, one was a manager of the other team. Michael Goodman, who owns, basically runs baseball, he was my manager. He wanted to win. He had won a few years previous, last time we had done it. It's clear that Jimmy Goodman, the other manager, stacked the deck in his favor. The teams were not fair. It doesn't really matter. Who cares?
Yeah.
But it was clear one team was significantly better than the other, and that's good. So it was competitive. Trophy is gigantic.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, it's very large trophy. Oh, yeah, it's very, very large trophy. So, anyway, there were rules to engagement here. And I thought that one of the rules was written with me in mind, no bunting.
Oh.
Because there was no pitcher. There was a pitching machine, and the pitching machine cannot come off the mound to field a bunt.
Exactly.
So there was no bunting. At Brian's first at bat, with a man on first, he bunted.
What?
Yes. So I'm automatically mad.
Yes.
Because he bunted.
Out the gate.
But then his next time up, I got even more mad when he didn't bunt, and he hit this, I mean, right center, opposite field, right center field, way over the head of everybody. And I got mad because why would you waste?
Yes.
Everybody's time by bunting and ultimately being called out because you're not allowed to.
Right.
Why would you do that when you can do that?
Exactly.
Which is my whole theory against bunting in the first place.
He was trying to fool everyone.
He says, I'm a smart baseball player. He's a very good baseball player, by
yes.
the way. I am a little sore. I can't throw anymore. I have no chance. I can't. No. I could barely reach the pitcher's mound from shortstop. I can catch a little bit, but man, it was a blast.
Well, it was a beautiful day anyway.
It turned out to be very nice. Sun was bright. Mm-hmm. Gave some people some problems. But other than that, we lost by a lot. I can't hit.
Oh, no.
I ran into an out. I should have just stopped at first. But we were down 5 runs. And I got put out trying to stretch a single into a double. But it should have been a double because I hit it over the head of the outfielder.
And it's Brian's fault because he bunted to begin with.
Brian's good.
Yes. I've seen them both.
Brian Lord can play.
Uh-huh.
Can absolutely play. All right. So that's all I'm saying about that, other than it was just an absolute blast to be on that field. If you have never been on the field at Durham Bulls Athletic Park, my gosh, I could sleep there.
Yeah.
It's that nice.
It is.
It is that nice. Perfect. I mean, every bounce was true. All right. Should we start?
Let's do it.
I'm actually dealing with some cramping right now, and I don't. It's because I'm old.
Oh, no.
It's just because I'm old. I'm having... We had somebody that did, like... I think pull a hamstring.
Oh wow!
Last night, yeah, it's no
was
fun.
Was it on
man.
The winning team? Because
no, it was on my team.
Oh, what a
waste!
It was
waste. On my team. Anyway, so an absolute blast yesterday. We have match week 2 of the NFL that starts tonight. We'll just call it match week 2 because I'm that way. Kansas City Chiefs and the team that wants to be the Buffalo Bills. I'll explain why I'm saying that in a minute. Last year's game of the season. Second round, the division round of the NFL playoffs on the AFC side. Josh Allen, quarterback of the Bills. Patrick Mahomes played a game of can you top this? And Mahomes topped it. Mahomes delivered the final blow. Well, he drove the team down the field easily in overtime, in the first possession of overtime. That created the... overtime must be changed, even though it doesn't really have to be changed. They did change it, but whatever. The game was really won by the Chiefs when the Bills allowed them to go however many yards in two plays in less than 13 seconds so they could kick a game-tying field goal just to get it into overtime. But anyway, it was an incredible game, an incredible show staged by two of the best quarterbacks on earth. And, I mean, you could put Rodgers and Brady and who knows whoever else you want to put in there. But Mahomes and Josh Allen are essentially, they're probably 1 and 1A of the quarterbacks today. But you go back a couple of years in Buffalo, and I think this is what you have in the LA Chargers. You got a big, strong, mobile, somewhat erratic quarterback in Justin Herbert. That's really what you have. And if you compare Herbert and Allen, their last years in college, they were really hyped going into their final years, and then their final years were like, not so great. Adam Gold in studio with my friend Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, how does longevity risk figure into our retirement and income plan?
This is the best of times and the worst of times, Adam. The longevity risk means we're going to live too long. But to me, every day I live is not too long.
Right, absolutely.
Good. So we want our money to outlive us. And unfortunately, many people I've seen, you out there listening, maybe one of them, your money is not designed to outlive you. You might outlive your money, and that's not what we want to have happen. Because when we get to that day after you run out of money, it's not going to be a fun time. So let's design a plan that guarantees you'll never run out of money. We call it the GPI plan, Growth Protection Lifetime Income. For the next 10 people, this is a golden ticket, Adam. $1,000 value, we're going to do it at no cost or obligation.
And all you have to do is call. We make it so easy. Would you like financial independence into your retirement and beyond it? 800-661-7383. That golden ticket is a $1,000 value, or you could text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter. Allen has turned out to be the real deal. We anticipate that Herbert will turn out to be the real deal, but they're at different points on the quarterback development timeline. And the head coaches also are at different points on the head coach development timeline. At this stage, a couple of years ago when the Bills were really emerging, I would say that Sean McDermott was significantly further ahead than Brandon Staley. Staley was his first year last year and frankly cost his team some games and the playoffs. So we'll see how he develops as a head coach. They are 1-0. They won their first game at home against the Raiders. So we got tons of potential in the Chargers. And they are in a division that is unforgiving. The Chiefs are in it. Obviously, this is a division game tonight. Chiefs are in it. I think the Raiders ultimately are the second best team in that division, but the Chargers might have more talent. we'll see. We'll see how this whole thing works out. The Raiders have not a rookie head coach because Josh McDaniel's done this before, but a first-year head coach with different personnel. So we'll see how this whole thing plays out, but should be a fun game tonight, especially if you just like watching quarterbacks. We'll get to some other things about this, and you'll hear other people's opinions of this game in a moment. There are some injury issues for the Chargers that they're going to have to overcome. All right, stop me if you have heard this one before. Professional sports franchise owner says racist, sexist, or homophobic things, treats employees poorly, dehumanizes them. League reacts by levying huge but inconsequential fine or punishment, and the world reacts in anger and disappointment. That never happens.
No,
it never happens. Robert Sarver is the owner of the Phoenix Suns, Phoenix Mercury. And he fits right in with the George Shins, Jerry Richardsons, Donald Sterlings, Daniel Snyders of the world. Adam Silver is the commissioner of the NBA, did what he could, but there are limitations to the amount of pain one can inflict on one's employers. Remember how, pay attention to what I said there. Adam Silver is limited in how he can punish the people who pay him. Think about that dynamic, right? How much could you punish your boss? It's hard.
It is.
So we'll get to Adam Silver in a second, but I'll end this part of the open in this way. Fines are silly in profession for owners. And to a large extent, fines are silly for players too. But fines are silly for owners in today's sports world. Robert Sarver is worth $11.6 billion. I know, would be nice, right?
It would.
$11.6 billion. It doesn't, $11.6 billion doesn't make you happy though, Victoria.
Apparently not.
All right. So what is a $10 million fine to somebody who is worth $11.6 billion? And I will put this in this context. Let's just say you or your family earns $150,000 a year. I just sort of picked the number out of nowhere. But let's just say that's your personal or your family income per year, which certainly doesn't make you rich.
No.
It's a $129 fine.
What?
Right. So if you make $150,000 a year and you are fined the equivalent of the $10 million that Robert Sarver was fined, it will cost you $129, which is not even a moving violation. That's like a parking ticket that you forget to pay for 2 years.
I was going to say, some people's cell phone bills are more than that.
Well, yes. So, many people's cable or satellite bills are more than that. So that's what I am saying. Like, why are we doing this? We can't. Robert Sarver has $10 million in an old suit jacket.
Yes.
Fine is inconsequential. The punishment, he has to stay away from his team for a year. We'll talk about that as well. I'll give you a little history lesson on that after we hear from Adam Silver in just a couple of minutes. FBS ADs met. Actually, a friend of the program, Tom McMillan, a former player, basketball player at Maryland, former congressman from the state of Maryland, is now running an organization called Lead One. He commissioned a conference, and they had like 100 FBS ADs show up. 80 in person, the rest on a video conference call to discuss the future of the NCAA. And they determined by an overwhelming number that they would rather stay under the jurisdiction of the NCAA than break away. And this is what we hear when we talk, because we talk a lot about college sports, especially the structure of college sports. It's fascinating to me. We hear a lot about, well, they're going to break away from the NCAA. They're going to do that. It's like, okay, Let's examine that for just one second. So what is the NCAA? This is a rhetorical question because I'm about to answer it. The NCAA are all the schools. All of them. At different levels. There's Division I in football, which is 135 or whatever strong. Then there's Division I basketball. But Division I football is longer, is bigger than, is 135 schools at the FBS level. And then the rest of the Division I plays at the FCS level. There's 340 Division I basketball schools. Then you got Division II and Division III, and they're all under the NCAA umbrella. They're all the schools. So, what would change if FBS schools broke away? They would still need a governing body. They would still have to have some set of operating rules that they would break, but they would still have to have them. So, in other words, nothing. Nothing would change. They would still have to follow some rules in order to engage with each other, which is something I've been saying forever. Every time somebody, we're going to break away from the NCAA. The NCAA is trash. I'm like, you're just going to complain about a different set of initials?
People love complaining.
Yeah, well, but the people doing the complaining are supposed to be the people who know better.
Should be.
But that is not the case. So even if we shortened it to FBS schools or from FBS schools to the Power Five, and we went with the top 60-ish, whatever the number is, right? All of those schools would still have to operate under a basic set of rules. So they would still be complaining about themselves.
Same old.
Never ending for me. We'll talk about this with Mike DeCourcy later on, because I'm sure he's got some thoughts on this. By the way, there's also some discussion about alterations to the NCAA basketball tournament, and we'll get to that as well. App State will get to host College Game Day this weekend in Boone.
Yeah, they are.
I saw that announcement. Actually, I think it came down in the middle of the show on Tuesday when I was last here. And thanks to my friend Hayes Permar for doing another great job filling in yesterday. Hayes is always fun, so I appreciate his time. But I didn't notice it until after the show, and we weren't here yesterday. We're going to talk to Doug Gillen, the director of athletics at App, coming up in about 13 minutes. And I just think it's awesome that we're going to have App doing this. Here's the problem. Troy at App ain't the sexiest matchup they could have. In fact, their home schedule isn't necessarily sexy and juicy this year. They don't have the annual game with Georgia Southern on their campus. And obviously the two high-profile non-conference games are gone off the schedule. But it's also kind of a light week in college football. There aren't that many other options. And this is the best time to go to App because they just came off the win over Texas A&M.
Yes.
The best game in the week on the weekend of college football is Texas A&M hosting Miami. But they ain't going back there.
No.
They're going to a place that just lost. And there's some other options, too, that we'll get to, like Nebraska hosts Oklahoma. It's the renewal of one of the legendary rivalries in that sport. But Nebraska just fired a head coach.
Drama.
So, we're not going to bring in College Game Day to a place that just fired their head coach.
No.
So, good for App, and we'll talk to Doug Gillen in just a couple of minutes. All right, we're going to start the sound here real quick because it's, I think, significant. Remember a couple of weeks ago, Serena Williams, there were the whole Vogue magazine essay she wrote about evolving away from competitive tennis. She actually said the other day that Tom Brady, he came back, and you never know.
Uh-oh.
Like, I've said this before, I think Serena Williams will play at Wimbledon. I think that will be the swan song. I think she wants to play there one more time. I don't think she'll win there, but she wants to play there one more time.
Yeah.
Just my feeling. I thought Roger Federer would too. Except Roger Federer dumped this on social media.
To my tennis family and beyond. Of all the gifts that tennis has given me over the years, the greatest, without a doubt, has been the people I've met along the way. My friends, my competitors, and most of all the fans who give the sport its life. Today, I want to share some news with all of you. As many of you know, the past 3 years have presented me with challenges in the form of injuries and surgeries. I've worked hard to return to full competitive form, but I also know my body's capacities and limits, and its message to me lately has been clear. I am 41 years old. I've played more than 1,500 matches over 24 years. Tennis has treated me more generously than I ever would have dreamt, and now I must recognize when it is time to end my competitive career. The Laver Cup next week in London will be my final ATP event. I will play more tennis in the future, of course, but just not in Grand Slams or on the tour. This is a bittersweet decision because I will miss everything the tour has given me. But at the same time, there is so much to celebrate. I consider myself one of the most fortunate people on earth. I was given a special talent to play tennis, and I did it at a level that I never imagined for much longer than I ever thought possible.
He's the GOAT for me. I'll fight anybody who disagrees. I thought he would give us one more Wimbledon. Yeah. But basically missed the last 3 years with injuries. The worst part was he had a chance to win one more Wimbledon and had match point on his racket against Novak Djokovic. Couldn't, then lost the fifth set. And I don't believe he's been really close since. All right, back to match week two of the NFL, which starts tonight. Chargers in Kansas City against the Chiefs. Both of these teams are 1-0. But the Chargers are going to be in this game without their best wide receiver, Keenan Allen. Let's start with Diana Rossini from ESPN on how the Chargers adjust.
The Kansas City Chiefs are going to make this Chargers team run the ball because they struggled with that last week. And in terms of the receiving core, I did have a conversation with someone with the Chargers over the week just about how do you make up for that Keenan Allen production? And obviously Mike Williams steps up in there, and they do like their weapons. They do. So this isn't a situation where they're panicking. But let's just face the reality here. When you don't have your top receiver, the guy that the offense runs through, you're immediately at a disadvantage.
Yeah, they still have talent. They also have a great running back in Austin Eckler. So, look, who knows?
This episode is brought to you by DirecTV Stream. DirecTV Stream is your home for football this season because it's the best way to catch the games you won't want to miss. And with the DirecTV Stream Sports Hub, you can follow your favorite teams and track scores all in one place. That means more ways to follow the biggest hits, drives, and wins this season. So many, you may need your own touchdown dance. So get your sports together and get your TV together at DirectTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package.
You can go poor predicting how NFL games are going to turn out in terms of how they'll be played. Just when you think you're going to have, like, did anybody believe that Rams-Patriots a few years ago in the Super Bowl would end up being 10-3? 10-3. Gosh, what a dreadful game. We have no idea how these games are going to play out. All right, now Keyshawn Johnson on Kansas City quarterback Patrick Mahomes, who has to adjust to offense without some pretty big weapons from a year ago.
What is he going to prove? I can ride the ship without Tyreek Hill. Well, he's already shown you that in week one. If he can continue to expand on that, that's how you beat this team. You distribute the ball to a number of options. In the past, it was really Kelce and Tyreek Hill. Now they've got to account for 4 to 5 different weapons that he uses. They've got to account for that. It will certainly make him a better quarterback because now he has to go through his progressions and his reads. And what happens in these situations with a guy at that spot like Patrick Mahomes, his fundamentals stay intact. He doesn't get all out of whack like we've seen before. A lot of the off-schedule plays that we've seen in the past, you won't see this year with Patrick Mahomes.
I'll disagree with that part. I think you're going to see Patrick Mahomes beat Patrick Mahomes in the off-schedule stuff and the weird sidearm throws. I mean, that's part of him. He had an underhand completion.
Yeah.
You see that? I mean, it's what he does.
I don't put it past him.
No. Gosh, he could throw the ball with his left hand again.
Yeah.
I mean, that stuff's never going to change with Mahomes because there are times that call for improvisation, and he is the best at that. All right, let's move back on to Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner, who fined Robert Sarver, the owner of the Phoenix Suns and Phoenix Mercury, $10 million and suspended him from having any involvement or even appearing at his team's games. You can't, basically, you're not the owner this year. You watch them from on TV. If I were Adam Silver, I would have also suspended his NBA league pass, so he can't even watch. Anyway, here's Adam Silver on why he didn't bounce Sarver as owner.
There are particular rights here of someone who owns an NBA team as opposed to somebody who's an employee. The equivalent of a $10 million fine and a one-year suspension, I don't know how to measure that against a job, but I have certain authority by virtue of this organization, and that's what I exercised. I don't have the right to take away his team. I don't want to rest on that neat legal point because, of course, there could be a process to take away someone's team in this league. It's very involved. And I often made the decision that it didn't rise to that level. But to me, the consequences are severe here. Reputationally, it's hard to even make those comparisons to somebody who commits an inappropriate act in the workplace in somewhat of an anonymous fashion versus what is a huge public issue now around this person. So there's no neat answer here. I mean, it's other than owning property, the rights that come with owning an NBA team, how that's set up within our Constitution, what it would take to remove that team, you know, from his control is a very involved process. And it's different than holding a job. It just is when you actually own a team. It's just a very different proposition.
All right, there is a mechanism that could have Adam Silver force Robert Sarver to sell. But that mechanism really doesn't belong with Adam Silver. It belongs with the other owners. And that's the whole reason why Daniel Snyder is still the owner of the Washington Commandos. Because the other owners aren't mad enough at Daniel Snyder to kick his slimy rear end out. Maybe that'll happen with NBA owners. Real quick history lesson. You know how the Yankees got great in the late 90s and early part of the 2000s?
Yes.
George Steinbrenner was suspended. Couldn't own, couldn't have any involvement with the team.
Wow.
So all the baseball people took over and they built them a dynasty. And then Steinbrenner came back as kind of a different kind of guy and a different kind of owner. And suddenly the Yankees were great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it's going to work out that way, but having an owner get got.
Right. You should leave it to the people.
Isn't the worst thing that ever happened to him. See, Adam Gold Show. I'm Adam Gold. V to the Victoria, App State grad, yes, producer of the program. Been a big weekend. Big stretch for the Mountaineers and the athletic director up at Kid Brewer Stadium. Doug Gillen joins us on the Adam Gold Show. When did the euphoria of 17-14 over Texas A&M wear off, or has it?
It's been great. It's been great. We are, obviously with the game, the win, college game day, it's just been a great week for App State.
All right, we're going to talk about all of those things. I am curious. I have only heard, I have no documentation to prove it. I'm sure that money changed hands to get you guys to College Station. Is it sweeter when they pay you to beat them?
Well, no. I mean, I think, with all of our scheduling, that's not necessarily the way you want to schedule. Some with us, with our lower budget, sometimes right. You have to go and get paid to go. But that's certainly, at App State, that's something we're really trying to get away from. It was sweet, don't get me wrong, but it didn't make it any sweeter. We're just happy to go play and play App State football and win.
Might not have been sweeter for you, but I bet it was a little bit more bitter. For on the other side, hey, I think that's just human nature. And I agree with you. I understand what your point. And it, in a perfect world, and I know the state schools, you're playing home and homes with them. And I want to ask you about that now, because I thought in the opening weekend of the season to have State and East Carolina play at one end and you and North Carolina to play in the other, and not to bring up a bad memory of that game, the outcome of it. But I thought that was one of the special times. I don't know that we'd seen that before, where both of the lesser conference schools, if you will, were hosting those games. But it was great for the state's college football.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's certainly something that we talked about, you know, when we scheduled the game, you know, when Bubba Cunningham and I were talking, is, it, you know, it's good for college football. It's good for college football in the state, and it's great for both fan bases. And you certainly saw that, you know, in the state of North Carolina, when you have the University of North Carolina coming to App State, you know, a lot of App State folks that grew up in the state are, you know, cheering for the Tar Heels, whether it was football or basketball, et cetera. And so you have just this whole camaraderie, quite frankly. You know, we had obviously from, you know, in between the lines, the competition in the stands, but I was really impressed with how both fan bases, win or lose, had a great time. And I think it's great for college football in our state. It's great for the economy in mm-hmm. both states. You know, we want to be an economic stimulus in the high country, with athletics. And I thought it was great. And same for Greenville. I mean, they had a sold out crowd. I just, to your point, great for college football and great for the state of North Carolina. And as you look at it, I'm sorry to be long winded. As you look at it, there's a potential, if we keep winning collectively, that you're going to have, including Wake Forest. The college football in the state of North Carolina is really, really good right now.
Yeah, it's been a great start. And you guys are just a blast to watch. And I'm sorry it didn't go well in the opener in terms of the outcome, but you guys were certainly ready the following week. I am curious about this. I'm sure that the folks at Clemson were paying attention. Have they called to say, you know what, I think we might have a cold in 2024. I'm not sure you should come here.
No, I don't anticipate that call. A lot of folks have been asking me about, you know, scheduling in particular. And I think, you know, I just used the analogy the other day. You know, Alabama goes to Texas, right? That's not an easy place to go, but you want to go compete. So I don't anticipate that from Clemson. And quite frankly, I'm hoping that more people will want to play us, not less.
Yeah.
We're a great football program with a great passionate fan base that was literally louder than 100,000 people in Kyle Field the other day. And those are the games that kids want to play and mm-hmm. people want to go see. So I'm hoping Adam, I could be wrong. I'm hoping more people will pick up the phone, not less.
You know, it's funny because we always think that certain things are going to happen based on, you know, new developments in sports. I remember when they instituted a rookie wage scale in the NBA draft, thinking that the lack of huge dollars would keep more of the players in school. It worked the opposite. The theory behind expanding the college football playoffs is that it might encourage teams to schedule better in non-conference. I hope that's the case. I have my doubts, but I hope that's the case, and I hope it benefits you guys because your non-conference schedules are awesome. I love when, first of all, I don't understand why anybody wants any part of you, but I love that they do.
Well, and I think, you know, it's about competition, right? And so if you want to compete, why not compete against the best? When you look at some of these schedules and, you know, whatever conference, when you've got 8 or 9 conference games, you got 2 or 3 or 4 games to play with. First of all, you and I talked about it. Why wouldn't you play schools in the state
yeah.
where folks can travel and we're getting these crowds like we talked about and the euphoria and the economy and everything's just a win-win-win. Why wouldn't you do that? Versus, you know, at the end of the day, with the college football playoff, I think good wins are going to matter. And I think, you know, North Carolina's win up here, that's going to matter down the line. You know, I'm certainly rooting for them to win out, quite frankly. That's good for us, but that's a good win for them. And then I think as you get into the college football playoff, good wins are going to matter, and people are going to look at, when they get in that college football playoff room, they're going to look at, hey, if you just go play, you know, somebody that you think you, or have, you know, 3 teams in where you're buying games, I don't think that's going to be the recipe to play in the college football playoff.
All right, College Game Day is showing up. I you're aware of this. Did they call and say, hey, would it be okay if, and I wonder how that conversation went.
It's a great story. So we're on the tarmac. The bad story is we had a flat tire on our plane.
I heard. Hey.
Trying to leave Texas, but it was, you know, we were happy, right? So that's, you know, if you're on the tarmac coming out of a 17-14 number 6 win, that's pretty good. So you're a little more tolerant, but the first call was, hey, we're thinking about it. And then, you know, 15 minutes later, the thing was like, hey, it's done. And so you're like, yeah, you know, game day at App State. And, you know, it's been, pardon the pun, game on ever since in terms of getting this ready. And ESPN's amazing. It's a well-oiled machine. They come in, they pick a spot, and away you go. And it just gets better in terms of, you know, who's going to be the guest picker, then who's going to be on, you know, Saturday Morning Countdown. It just keeps getting better every day for App State and the exposure it is for our program.
You're not allowed to tell me who the guest picker is, are you?
I'm not, but I feel like I had heard it should be out by now. Now, I have not been on Twitter.
Is Luke Combs an app guy?
He is, yes.
Okay. I really do not know who it is, but that seems logical. The other thing that I could come up with is maybe Darren Gant, who Panthers.com is a big app guy and a friend of mine. And frankly, even though I'm not an app guy, not an app grad, I've said this before hundreds of times, there is no better place to watch a college football game than Kid Brewer Stadium all across the state of North Carolina. And we've got great venues. I'm not knocking any of them. There's no place better than Kid Brewer. So I asked this question, I think it was Adam Witten before, the voice of the Mountaineers, before the game against North Carolina, how do we keep the fire marshal away? How are you guys going to keep the fire marshal away this time?
I tell you, you know, we're sold out four of our games already this year. You know, this, you know, with realignment, with how we really went about realignment and picking brands and fan bases that are close in proximity, Troy's coming in on Saturday. We're sold out. We won't oversell. We had 40,000 in for North Carolina. We had some temporary bleachers.
Yes,
in,
we did.
We're continuing Adam. Sounds like it's a sales job, but we're hot right now. We're just trying to enjoy the moment and know that we got to win on Saturday. But we know we'll be able to have another sellout on Saturday.
Doug Gillen, App State Director of Athletics, is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. Just a couple more things, then we'll let you go. And I don't want to dominate your day, but all of the things that you guys are doing, it rubs off in other areas. So what are the other benefits that you see from all of the success that you have had on the football field?
Well, I think certainly from a university standpoint, like when we're talking to ESPN, it's a 2.5 day commercial. And certainly on that morning, it's a 3-hour commercial for App State. So from a university perspective, it's unbelievable in terms of the amount of exposure. I think we did the math this morning. We're over 80 some, you know, from Sean Clark to this conversation with you and I to others, just different national, regional, radio, everybody hearing about App State. It's been absolutely amazing.
And it also benefits the academic part of the school and applicants and all of that. I know all about those things because this has been a story now at App State for about 2 decades, maybe even longer. And final thing, because this is sort of fresh news where FBS athletic directors, and I assume you were one of those that met with Tom McMillan's group, lead one, to talk about the NCAA being the best place or best organization to govern. If you believe that, what are the reasons for it? And are you comfortable with where things are now?
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing is I did not make the meeting up in D.C. this week with everything going on here. So I wasn't part of those discussions. I do think there's pros and cons, NCAA versus outside. There's certainly expenses on both sides. There's priorities. There's enforcement. I think there's a lot more to unpack there before I would go and say, hey, I think this is the right way or that's the right way. The good news is we got everybody in a room. They're talking about it. And Tom has done some great work on that as well. So more to come on that. But since I wasn't there, I probably won't expand too much further.
Well, my feeling is you can correct me if I'm wrong. If it's not the NCAA, which is really all of the schools under one umbrella, it would be a smaller version of the NCAA. Isn't that fair?
Oh, that's fair. Yeah, it'd be a smaller version, whether it's whether it's the NCAA or whether it's the college football playoff or whether it's a different group. I do think, yeah, you still have the same principles. You still have to have enforcement. You still have to have rules and regulations and et cetera. So whether the NCAA is monitoring it or another group, I think it is just trying to figure out where the best place is for that to fit, for college football to fit.
All right, final thing, and then we'll say goodbye to Doug Gillen. Not that your normal black uniform is not appropriate. It's great. Is there any plan for something new and different or different for this upcoming game because college game day's around?
No. Nothing out of the ordinary. You know how big these uniform reveals are, and excited people are, combinations, et cetera. But no, we won't get too far off of what we do. It'll be some combination of black and gold. That's what we're going
to
roll with.
Oh yeah, I wasn't expecting you to come out in green.
Yeah, no.
Plus, since your history is black and gold, no matter you're at Missouri, you're here. I don't want you to get a new wardrobe.
That is true. Not we're going to get a new wardrobe. Hey, before you let me go, sure. Luke Combs did confirm, so he is our guest picker.
Look at that! I know like three
you're
App
right
State
on.
Grads, so that's
you?
It. I was unavailable. Doug, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. Congratulations on the win. Congratulations on all the success. And again, absolutely love what you guys have done.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much for having me on.
You got it. Doug Gillon, the athletic director at App State. It really is. I mean, they are such an example of what programs in the group of five can be.
Yeah.
I don't know where the future of college athletics is going in terms of expansion and realignment and all of that, but holy cow, you want a football brand right now?
Go up the mountain.
No, no pride, no pride there, right?
No, none at all.
No pride at all.
This is the Adam Gold Show.